announcement before I get into the word tonight. The coffee bar. Coffee bar is officially closed on Sunday nights. 1 in 4 weeks it will be closed. I'm joking. I'm really joking. Unless you help us, we need volunteers. We've got a couple of teams have unfortunately dropped off. So if you'd like to volunteer, would you mind raising your hand? Teresa's going to look at you and she's going to remember you. Just raise your hand, please. We need at least one more team, and it's literally only two people that need to run a team. It's really easy. So do we have two volunteers here tonight who would like to run one team? Come on. All right, maybe I should do this announcement after the preach. It might be better. Come on, just two volunteers. I've got none so far. Just two volunteers. Okay, Rob, it's really easy. All you got to do is order Scooter's Pizza, and that's it, actually. Order Scooter's Pizza, have a box, and receive money. Or Debonair's, or Steers, whatever works. And try not to make a loss. That's it. Come on, two volunteers. Come on. Please, we just need two people. Wow, all right. Steve, I think what we'll do is this week we'll just plan a serving series. An hour sermon every Sunday night, serving in the church. Okay. Hope you guys are ready. Okay, worship team going to be on it. Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you very much. It's fine. I get paid by the church to run the church, so I'll do it. All right. Do you want to thank Ryan, my brother? Can you? Yeah, it's already on. Look at that. My brother-in-law, this man is a legend. He really is such a blessing. What a blessing. This morning, he wasn't on duty, but the guy who was on duty sprained his ankle, couldn't drive, and he jumped in. Last week, the guy who was on duty couldn't make it. He jumped in. So he's literally three sessions in a row. He's been at the back. What a legend. Just give him a hand. He's such a blessing. Ryan, thank you, bro. I really, really appreciate you. And it's good to see Sean again as well. I know Sean's been training for the Midmar himself. So it's good to see you finally broke away from your training to come and join us. Thanks, bro. Amen. Was that a joke from Steve? Dave, I want to hear that. Come on. You live with Sean? Just tell us. Come on. Sean, you're going to have to deal with your landlord later, buddy. You're going to have to deal with your landlord later. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Well, I can feel this is exactly why I wanted to do this. Because can you feel like there's so little ice right now? It's actually like steam. Can you feel that? It's just so loose and chilled. Beautiful, isn't it? So I really just wanted to, that's exactly what I wanted to do tonight. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. In some time. 25 minutes left. I'm okay. I'll be fine, bro. I promise. We're going to talk about Holy Spirit tonight. And I'm going to share a word entitled The Fresh Infilling of Holy Spirit for Changing the World. We tonight are going to really go deep. We're going to trust Holy Spirit to fill us again. And I think this is a tough subject. When you are preaching grace, when you're a church who preaches grace, we understand the doctrines of grace. We understand the theology that, in grace, we understand that Christ is in us all the time. We understand Holy Spirit never leaves us. He promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are basic grace foundations which many, many churches around the world don't understand. They don't understand that if you make a mistake, if you sin, Holy Spirit's still there. Christ is still in you all the time. And grace opens you up to that revelation. But the danger is we lose sight of some of the very real scriptures of the book of Acts, which clearly shows examples of the same people getting filled with the manifest presence of God, filled with Holy Spirit on a number of occasions. Not just one, but on a number of occasions. Now, how does that work if Holy Spirit is always in us? I don't know. If we look at the tabernacle of Moses, if we look at the the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies. We know in the Ark of the Covenant, the glory of God was always there. The presence of God was always there 24/7. But sometimes the priests would go in and they would offer a sacrifice or whatever they would do. And then the glory cloud manifested and would come between the two cherubim and it would manifest there. So the glory was always there, but sometimes there was a fresh manifestation. So I don't want you, there's two things that I don't want you to do. One, number one is, I don't want you to hear this and be like, hey, but hang on, I thought Jesus is always in us and always with us and Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. Those are true doctrines and I believe those. Not only theoretically, but practically, I believe those. But I still believe the mystery that we always need more. You know? And then the second thing I don't want you to do is, I don't want you to interpret what I'm saying tonight as you don't have Jesus in you all the time. So don't take like, oh, well, this means, you know, I never knew Jesus or I wasn't a Christian or if I sin, I might lose it or I need fresh and fillings every time. No, I was out yesterday, I was teaching a school of supernatural ministry in Toti, and I was out on the streets, we were prophesying over people, praying for people, and I actually didn't have a meeting beforehand to get in filled. You know what I'm saying? I just stepped out because I know who's in me. And so I don't want you to feel like you need, before you do anything, you need the Holy Spirit to come. You know? But we still need fresh and fillings from time to time. So, if you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Acts. We're a Bible-believing church, and I believe that most of you should have a Bible tonight, at least on your phone. If you don't, I really am afraid it's not going to come up on the screen. But if it, you can just listen, okay? Tonight is going to be a wild night of glory. I don't know how it's going to work out. I think God likes it that way sometimes. I remember listening to Chris Vallotton once preach on being led by the Spirit. His wife tuned him for preparing because he had notes. It's like, you're preaching on being led by the Spirit, but you have notes. What's up with that? My wife is so amazing. She never chirps me. She really doesn't. Okay, amen. So, Acts chapter 1. Don't break. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Isn't that amazing that Theophilus is the recipient of this book? I mean, do you know how hard it was to write back then? It wasn't like just go to an internet cafe and start typing. You had to be quite wealthy to write. And he wrote an entire book to one guy. Hey, that's commitment. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Find that amazing as well, that for 40 days all he spoke about was the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. My first point tonight is that fresh infillings are imperative for world changing. See, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to get out there and be my witness. I want you to get out there and change the world. but wait. Don't go anywhere. As much as I want you to be my witness, as much as I want you to go and heal the sick, as much as I want you to go out and change the world, I want you to wait. Because you can do it to a level, but if you do it with a fresh infilling and a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, the effect will be supernatural. Literally, everything you touch will be turned to gold. And I'm believing that tonight, we're going to go away from this place. Tomorrow, this week, we are going to touch things that will turn to gold. Because everything that we touch after being filled with Holy Spirit turns to gold. I've heard so many encounters where people encountered the Lord and literally the next week they had amazing business opportunities. They had business deals come in. It was just supernatural. So I'm really believing for the same thing. Jesus said, wait. The second thing is, the Holy Spirit is poured out for us to restore the kingdom and to change the world. You see, while an encounter with God is pleasurable, while an encounter with God is beautiful, it's the most tantalizing, sensational thing on this planet. You cannot get anything more beautiful, more sensational than an encounter with God Himself. And if we've got time, I really am going to make time. I want to hear Michelle's encounter she had last Sunday night, eh? Last Sunday night where she touched the face of Jesus and she said how her sense of touch was heightened and she could feel. And I'm not going to say too much else because I want her to share it. But my point is, when we truly encounter the Holy Spirit, when we encounter God, it is the most pleasurable thing on earth. There's nothing better. You know, I know drug addicts who have encountered Jesus and they don't want anything else. People have said, how to get off drugs is to find a higher fix. And so when people encounter Jesus, they don't need anything else. I know for me, when I encountered the Holy Spirit, I was delivered of pornography. I was. In an instant, literally in an instant, I encountered God and I'd never even flinched when temptation came my way after that. Didn't even flinch. Because an encounter with God, there's no desire. He just completely, completely changed me. So while it is pleasurable and beautiful and there's nothing else that we should want in the world, it still comes and still happens with a purpose. There is still a purpose to the Holy Spirit's pouring out. And so you're going to see these Sunday night services are going to look different. Every Sunday night are going to be different. We're just going to flow with what God leads us into. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and move. But we're not just having a holy huddle where, as Finney, Rob Rufus says, prophesy over each other's belly buttons and just like navel gaze. Holy Spirit gets poured out for a reason. He comes and His glory comes and His glory manifests to change the world. I just find it so interesting that the disciples are like, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel again? And Jesus, in a way, changes the subject. And I've always thought that He just changes the subject. He just like gets on to the next thing. Forget about that. No, actually, it's almost like He does follow on from their question. It's almost like being filled with the Holy Spirit and being a witness is directly linked to the restoration of the kingdom. It's interesting. And I believe that the restoration of the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of God here on earth is through fresh encounters with the Holy Spirit. And so He comes with a reason. The glory comes with purpose. Thirdly, just in case you didn't know, you have been called to change the world. Just in case you didn't know. And that verse where Jesus says, you will be my witness in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, is a prophetic picture of the various nations that we are going to go into and witness the glory of God. What is a witness? A witness is more than just telling your testimony. A witness is more than just trying to get someone to sign the document, sign the dotted line. A witness is a living testament. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3, a living letter. We are living letters written by the Holy Spirit Himself. We are walking encounters. We just naturally walk and we encounter God and people encounter God through us. And so when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're able to go out into our Jerusalem, which represents something local, something right around the corner, your neighbors, your work colleagues. And do you know how hard it is to try and get Nita saved? I'm joking, Nita. Nita is such a blessing. She's just awesome. I think she thinks the same about me. But she's serious. She's like, oh, James. She sends me these emails and she's like, you better get saved, eh? You better see this one. You must read this one because it's like these innuendos. Come, James, no? I'm sorry, Nita. Like Jimmy says, one day I'll be the pastor you always wanted me to be. We won't even go down the road of what Roxanne thinks. Jerusalem is your local area. It's your family. Maybe some of your families here tonight don't know God. I tell you what, you encounter God, you will radiate the glory in your home. And the radiance of your glory in the home will cause people to see and want and long for. There's a story in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas are in prison and their praise caused other prisoners to get liberated and set free because they were there. Your encounter can set other people free completely, completely unintentionally. That's the beauty of encounters. We leak, as Bill Johnson says. We just overflow. So let me just also stress on this point here. You've been called to change the world. You have not been called just to, I don't know, wake up every day and do the same thing every day and, you know, whatever. And I'm careful how I say that because actually you can be in your job and change the world. But it's more than just, don't view your job as, I'm getting money. I'm doing this to get money. My job is just to give me an income. No, my friend, your job is an opportunity to change the world. You've got to change your mindset to why you're on earth. Think about it. If you were just meant to live, meant to go through life, have a good life, and then die, and leave a big inheritance for your children, why did Jesus go to heaven? Jesus went to heaven so that we can carry on with the job. And that's a whole nother sermon, which I actually got into yesterday, and I really want to, but just to say very quickly, mankind was always meant to change the world. It wasn't meant for God to do. God set it up that His children would do it, and we messed it up, so God had to come as a man in order to restore mankind to do the job. Because otherwise, like, come on, Jesus, you do the job, come on. No, Jesus is like, I'm giving it to you. And then He left them. It's your job to change the world. You are put on this earth to change the world. That's why you're here. So Jerusalem is your local area of influence. Judea, maybe your workplace, maybe local areas such as a little bit further out. We, you know, in the old NCMI days, we'd say, give a little example. Judea would be your KZN area or South African area. Samaria would be the world. Would be the nations. So there's influence for you in your local areas, in your a little bit further out community areas, and then your translocal international areas. There are opportunities waiting for you all over the world. Okay, now I want you to look at Acts chapter 2. Please excuse this projector, by the way. We had a problem this morning and I tried to fix it and then I ended up bumping it. I haven't had a chance to fix it, so I'll do that this week. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, in verse 1, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, it's really interesting because in John 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? I don't know. What I do know is we need a fresh and filling. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, remember that it's as the Spirit enables you. If you feel like you've not got anything coming or you're not shaking but other people are and you wonder why, hey, let the Spirit enable you. If you're not doing anything, then the Holy Spirit's enabling you to do something else. Don't worry about, do not compare yourself. My fourth point is that God's Spirit will be poured out on all people. Have a look at verse 17 of chapter 2. He quotes Joel. What a beautiful name that is, eh? In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Isn't that amazing? Peter viewed what was happening as the last days. 2,000 years later, we're still here. Isn't that amazing? I'm so tired of, "We're in the last days, we're in the last days, we're all going to die, we're in the last days, we're in the last days." Just shh and get on with the job of changing the world. Just do it, man. Forget, "Oh, one day, oh, we're in the end times, oh, Barack Obama is the Antichrist, ah." Shh. You're wasting so much energy writing thick books of why Barack Obama is the Antichrist when you could be changing the world and giving people tools to get out of poverty, and you could giving people tools to forget and move on from corruption, from their past. They could be changing the world, man. But isn't that amazing? That isn't my point of what I'm saying here. Come on. God's Spirit will be poured out on all people. That's a mind bender. All people, all flesh, all. If you have a Muslim friend at work, if you have a Hindu friend, the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out on that guy. Look for opportunities. It carries on. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Now, don't take that as, okay, well, the sons and daughters do this, the old men do this, and the young men do this. I take it this way. My fifth point, the Spirit creates different responses. There's three different things that happen there. There are dreams, there's prophecy, and there's visions. There's a whole bunch of different responses that happen when the Holy Spirit comes. And so, when the Holy Spirit comes tonight, which He will, people are going to manifest in different ways. And I want you to just focus on Him always. Do not get distracted by what other people are doing. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. And now, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. In fact, we're going to jump down to verse 28, Acts 4:28. This is the apostles praying. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Finally, tonight, we need fresh and regular infillings and encounters. These apostles were there in the upper room, and they had been filled on the day of Pentecost. And here we have two chapters later, and they encounter the Holy Spirit again. These were the apostles. This was Peter who had got 3,000 people saved. We need fresh infillings. We need, two chapters later, hello? When last did you feel like you got baptized with the Holy Spirit? When last did you feel like you were immersed in the Holy Spirit? Because if it was a while ago, then I'm praying tonight is the night. We're going to trust God tonight for some encounters. And we've got a nice little change-up system here. So that means you will all be comfortable to be in the front rows along here. We're going to find nice space. I'm going to ask you all to... We're actually going to make two lines, and I want people praying for each other. But I'm just going to flow with what the Holy Spirit leads us into. Before I get into that, if I could ask the team to come up, just to be ready, the worship team to come up. While they come up, Michelle, do you want to just come and share that encounter you had last week?
Sit down a bit, eh? Oh, was that a bit lost? last week, Dave, I don't know if he's here tonight, but he was worshipping an incredible sound from heaven. Came down and around us and had an incredible encounter with Jesus. And I have had many face-to-face encounters with Jesus. I really have at home, here. I've had many face-to-face. And I said, Lord, tell me tonight, I just want something so different. And he sat there on the edge there. And he says, as a blind person looks at me, they can't see me, so that you must feel me. And he said, see those hands, where those hands are, I want to change them to your hands. And first I just looked at his face and I saw the smile, and he was talking, and Jesus was talking to me, every part of my DNA came alive, and every part of my body, every single cell in my body was alive. And I took my hands and I said, do I just put my hand on your face? And he said, yes, just put your hand over my face. And as I put my hand over his face, I felt the paws of Christ. And the paws of Christ were just love. It was just, each paw was love. And it blew me away. And I was just feeling his face like a blind man would feel. But my eyes were open and I was looking at his eyes, eye to eye. And I was feeling his face and going around. And then I felt underneath his eye, and I felt tears, and there were floods of tears. And I was crying, and I said, Lord, why are you crying? And are you making me cry? Why are you crying? He says, I'm crying for the nations that are lost. I'm crying because people don't realize that people are lost around you. They're lost. And I'm crying for them. And I cry continually because these are the people that I created. And I want them, I want them, I want them on my lap. I want them near me. I want them back. They are my people. I created them. And my spirit was just crying for the nations because he was showing me the nations that I must cry for. And then I looked at another part, feeling his face and another part of his eyes, and there was just joy. And he says, the joy of the people that have found me, that have opened their eyes to see what I have done for them. That is my joy. And then I was feeling his face and there was cuts and there was things that he's gone through. I said, what are these, Lord? And he says, this is a sacrifice that I've taken so you can come and feel my face. And then I looked at his lips and they said, he said, my lips are forever up. My lips are forever smiling. And Jesus was just speaking words of me, and my DNA was bouncing with every pore. And he says, just keep on coming face to me. Just look at me face to face all day, every day. And he says, your DNA will change. That you could never die at your walk from this world into mine without death, because your DNA is so alive, you will never die. And he says, this is what I want the people to know, that they can just walk into the realms of heaven with their DNA is just alive. That you never have to face death, my child. You never have to go under any circumstances, because I put a barrier around you that nothing can touch you. And he says, just look, and then I want you to feel my hair. And I felt his hair, and it was long and beautiful. And I said, what is the reason for feeling your hair? And he says, this is my strength I'm giving you for the parts that you are very weak. This is my strength. Just the same as I gave Samson the strength of the hair, this is my strength that I'm giving you. For when you are weak, I'm very strong. And when you are weak in your business, I'm going to just turn it around. And I'm going to lift it up. And when you're weak for love for people that you don't understand why they're doing that, you get very weak with people. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Why can't they see where they're meant to be? Why? And he says, you get very weak, my child. And where you're weak, I will make you strong. And the strength that he's giving me is the love for the people, is the love for the nations, because sometimes I find it very difficult. I'm honest and I'm straightforward, but I find it very difficult. Why do you walk like that? Why? It's not necessary. Why do you want to walk back into that life when we've got this life, when we've got this abundant life? Why don't you want to listen to the words of God? Why? And I'm weak where I don't understand why people do that. And I say, Lord, I'm very weak. And he says, I know you're weak, but I will give you the strength of my love. Feel my hair. I'll give you the love for the people that you do not understand. I will pour out my love for the nations, that the people that you see, you do not understand them. I will give you understanding, and I will give you the wisdom, and I will give you everything, because where you are weak, Michelle, that's where I'm going to make you strong. That's where I'm going to lift you up. Because there's many areas in my life that are weak, that are many people I don't understand. And many people I say, listen, and I tell them, come this, and they don't. And I get frustrated, and I don't understand why they're doing that. And he says, don't worry about it, because your love inside of you, I'm going to pour out of my love out of you and every part of your DNA. So when they stand in front of you, you will have only love. And then you'll get it right. You'll get it right with my love. Will pour out in every part of my face. You will touch it continually. And you'll feel my love. Then my love will go in you. And my love will pour out of you. And my love for you is the same love I have for the nations. That you see me often. You see me crying. But you see me full of joy. And the reason why I'm showing you this is I've got many parts of me that people don't understand. I cry when you cry. But I'm joyous when they joy. And I'm with you all the time. And I'm lifting you up when you've got the tears in the bottle. I'm lifting you up and I'm drying you. But I want you to sit on my lap and laugh as well. And I want you to realize that come. Just don't come with a 50-point poem or 50 letters of, I want this. It's not a time of worship. It's not a time of begging. It's not a time of saying, oh, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And you look at the worshippers, oh, I've got into his presence and now I can give me my list. No, God is not a God of lists. He's not a God of a list. Why are you giving him lists? He knows your needs already. Why are you giving him a list? Why don't you just sit on his lap and just take in his eyes and just let him, don't give him a list. Don't be needy people. Don't be needy people. Just go into this time of worship and just love. Just let it feel his love. Please feel his love. Because you will wonder why you were so silly and embarrassed. Because when you look at the face of Jesus, it don't matter what man says about you. It is so unimportant. It is so unimportant, because the important thing in my life is what God's got to say about me. That is my importance.
All right. What I want us to do now is I want us to just get into two rows in the front row of the church. So just maybe if you want to pull some chairs away, and we're going to get ready right now for a fresh encounter. So I want two rows, everyone facing each other. Whoever you feel comfortable with facing to pray over you.